Thank you, dear George. You are a truly supporter of Cyprus, and thank you, because every time that you come to Cyprus, you really speak from your heart. Thank you very much. So, welcome to Limassol, the capital of shipping. It gives me great pleasure to be here today at the 8th Annual Capital Link Cyprus Shipping Forum. It has become a tradition for me to attend this forum, as this marks my third consecutive year of participation. Actually, it was the first forum I attended following my appointment nearly 2 years ago. I extend my heartfelt appreciation to the organizers of this year's event, and especially to Mr. Bornozis for the invitation. Such events are extremely important and are supported by the government of the Republic of Cyprus, as they enhance the position of Cyprus shipping and showcase the abundant investment opportunities conducive towards economic growth, innovation, and sustainable development. This event, supported by the Cyprus Union of Shipowners as a lead sponsor, is truly unique, bringing together prominent figures and professionals from around the world, all of whom, in their own way, have played a significant role in their field. Ladies and gentlemen, today we gather at a pivotal and crucial time for the maritime industry. 2024 was another challenging year for international shipping, continuing to operate under extreme pressure. From what we have witnessed so far, 2025 will also be a challenging year. At the same time, we acknowledge how important and crucial it is to enhance the resilience of the sector in order to be able to face and overcome the challenges. We truly believe that the global challenges that international shipping faces can be dealt only by collective approaches and international solutions, as they can be complex and unpredictable. In the face of adversity, we must recognize that challenges also bring opportunities, and we are committed to embracing these challenges and turning them into opportunities for sustainable growth. The strategic location of the island at the crossroad of three continents and robust shipping infrastructure have made Cyprus a key player in global shipping. Over the years, and despite the challenges that Cyprus shipping faced, it managed to excel both globally and locally, providing efficient, high-quality, personalized services and reinforcing Cyprus' status as a maritime center of excellence. Cyprus has evolved into a fully-fledged shipping center, combining a prestigious and a quality sovereign registry of ships of high standards of safety, one that we are very proud of, and a domestic industry renowned for its excellent quality services, customer-orientated and a proactive approach. We are very pleased that the exposure of Cyprus shipping has grown impressively in the last 2 years. As a result, over the last 16 months, we have seen an increase of 18% of the Cyprus ship registry in terms of gross tonnage. The further advancement of our ship registry is one of our government's main priorities and part of a continued targeted strategic plan. We believe that the future will be a promising one. Dear friends, despite the challenges faced, we are determined to build on the opportunities and to strengthen more our role in the international shipping scene. In today's rapidly evolving world, where technology and innovation are driving unprecedented change, your role as our partners is more critical than ever before. The challenges we face, such as decarbonization, climate change, digitalization, sustainable development, and the quest for cleaner and greener technologies, require strong partnerships with the private industry and innovative solutions. As a leading advocate for sustainable shipping, we believe that comprehensive and diverse measures are necessary at global level to achieve emissions reduction targets and ensure a sustainable future for the industry. Cyprus' active and strong participation in the IMO and EU deliberations help to formulate a broad and diverse set of actions required to achieve emissions reduction targets. Considering all the above, we strongly believe that our focus should be on three main pillars: innovation, collaboration, and enforcing the global regulations. By embracing innovation, fostering collaboration, and enforcing regulation, we can bridge the energy gap and steer our industry towards a brighter and more sustainable future. In addition, because of the rapid growth of the maritime-related services companies based in Cyprus, the President of the Republic of Cyprus, Mr. Nikos Christopoulidis, announced recently the development of policies related to these services, and particularly in services of technology, research and development, and pleasure yachts. By harnessing the power of science, technology and human ingenuity, we can overcome any obstacles and build a future where our maritime industry not only survives, but thrives. Together, we should not only embrace change, but we should also drive it, making maritime industry more resilient, sustainable, and prosperous. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Nicholas, for another extremely well-organized and well-attended event. Dear Minister,
good morning.
Starting on bright notes, you mentioned in your speech, and President mentioned in recent State of the Union, the 18% increase in capacity of our shipping fleet over the past 16 months. This came despite admittedly gloomy beginning of your position, where we had the Russian sanctions severely impacting the ship industry, but you have remarkably managed to overturn this. And we'd like to hear more about how this growth was achieved and whether you believe that this trend is sustainable and will keep up.
As I stated in my speech, the further advancement of the ship registry was a main priority, not only myself, but the government. And this was an important measure, and that's what made a change, that it came from the government, that our registry should be the top priority. So this was the first policy that I started together with my colleagues to build on. And what we have understood is that we needed a targeted plan. We needed to go to countries that didn't know the advantages of cycle shipping, because we don't say that we are the best and one of the leading ones by chance. We are really one of the best flags in the world, and we should believe it. And what we did is that we believed in it. And we have traveled around the world. We have identified strong advantages, which, as I said, and I say always, you cannot find better quality, better safety. We are classified in the white list of the Paris and Tokyo MOUs on port state controls. We have the expertise, we have the flexibility, we have the efficiency. We have the 24/7 service. Even if it's a weekend, even if it's a public holiday, even if it is at 3 a.m., even if it is for a deletion, we are there. And I know that you have a lot of stories to say about this, because we are collaborating with your law firm, and you know about efficiency. So this is what the companies abroad had to know. And when they learned about it, they really trusted us. And we have also launched the one-stop shipping center, which everything is being done on this aspect of the ministry. So you don't have to go to travel around the other Nicosia or anywhere else. And, you know, when you come to Cyprus, and this is what we say to the ship owners especially, is that you come for 2 days maximum, and you can conclude everything. We have the ship owning, we have the ship management, we have all the shipping related companies. You cannot find it anywhere else in the world. And that's why we are the best, and that's why we need to remain on top of it. And what we have done is that we have built a strong personal relationship with the ship owners. And we wanted to know, okay, not only to go and ask to trust us, but to hear what their thoughts are, to hear what their concerns are. And when we say that we want to be their voice, we say it because we want to be their voice. We want to be proactive. We don't want to run after what is decided because our decisions will affect them. So this was the main priorities, and this was what we understood. And I believe that, you know, all flags, when we go and we promote ourselves, we say that we are the best. But, you know, when we have calm waters, it's good. But when the problem arises, it's there that you see the dynamic of the flag. And Cyprus is a sovereign flag. We have more than 25 bilaterals with countries. We have built it on relationships. And, you know, it's a history of 60 years. And I want really to thank for that point because we didn't do it alone. And I did it because of the people at the ministry, and I want to thank them. Most of them are here, and thank you. And I always say to them that it's their support, it's their passion, it's their commitment that drive all of this. And I want to thank also the Cyprus Union of Ship Owners and the Cyprus Shipping Chamber. And you know that we have a history. We had pioneers, ship owners, secret ship owners that showed the way. The family of Mr. Kajiwanu, Vasos, Lucas, Michalis, Mr. Karlos Milonas, Mr. Andreas Kajiyannis, Mr. Kiriakos Muskas, and now their children. They are here and they are supporting us. So, yes, we are unique, but I think that the challenge is to remain at the top of it. And this depends on us. We need to be more flexible, we need to be more efficient, and we really need to listen to what the people say in order to enforce it, and in order to be there for them when the challenges arise.
Thank you.
I speak a lot.
No. It sounds good. Thank you. I can see your passion, and I can see why you're a flag bearer, and you really do the ministry justice. And as you mentioned, the ministry is flag bearers by yourself, but the amazing people that a lot of them are here among us are who give this ministry the passion, the commercial nature, the 24/7 service, and who have made flag what it is today. So thank you for that. So let's look ahead, look to the past. You've been in this position for, I mean, close to 2 years, right?
March 22 years.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks. You were a capital link at the first week of your appointment. Mm-hmm. So let's look into the future. And can you tell us what's next for the ministry? What are your sort of personal goals as the ministry's captain?
I believe that every political leader of any ministry should primarily be supporting the interests of the Republic of Cyprus, first and foremost, to ensure that we have a good quality of services for the people and for the citizens and the companies that trust us, and especially the protection of policies that will be a legacy of the future. And my goal, together with my associates, are to create this appropriate framework to build on solid foundations so that the next one, who will be coming and sit on the chair to be the next captain, will have solid foundations to continue. Because this is the main task. Everybody that sits on this chair needs to continue needs to build on his ideas or her ideas, and then the next one will come to continue it. And I believe that mainly this comes from my sources first at the ministry. They are the ones that will be there to continue the legacy, and we need to strengthen the human resources of the ministry, and that was a priority when I took over. We need to pass the expertise that the people have to the next generation. This is very important because it is a ministry that has excellent people that are working there, and they have so much expertise that we need to pass it to the next generation. Also, we need to establish Cyprus as a significant maritime nation. We need to share policies that will contribute especially to the green development, the cooperation with the maritime industry, very important, the public and the private cooperation. And lastly, but not least, a new building. I hope that we will be able to start seeing the procedure going ahead. We are in, we have proceeded with the first stages, and I'm very happy about it. And we believe that next year we will be able to proceed much more further. So this is something that I would like to see.
We really look forward to seeing new premises, and obviously this thing. We do hope there's better parking for us this time around. But I want to reverse my previous question and focus on the foundations which you mentioned. Out of the foundations which you helped lay down over the past couple of years, what has been your sort of most proudest moment, your biggest achievement or achievements?
And the first and utmost is a ship registry, and the increase that we have seen, that was something that was in my heart, and I was very happy to see it. Secondly is the initiatives that we have been taking for the green incentives. This is also something that is very important for me. The maritime education, the young generation, it's important to build on them. And we have seen that we need to expand the initiatives that we have been doing. We went to schools together with Saineva, and thank you very much for all the support. And we have taken them to BSM premises to see, to love maritime professions, to choose maritime professions. So this is something that I feel proud of it, that we have been able to expand it. You know my passion about gender equality, and also I'm very proud about the exposure that Cyprus take on half the last 2 years. But I would also like to ask you a question.
Yes, sorry.
So, if you were the minister for, I will give you 2 days, as a the new generation, what you would have done?
Yeah, same.
I mean, the honest answer, I believe the ministry ties in very well, all the way to Baptist or which we'll discuss today. But I feel that the one single project which needs to be pushed is the digitalization of the ministry. I feel that's the cherry on the top that's required in order to push the ministry in the 21st century and keep up with the times. And I feel that we are not lacking in any particular area. Actually, yeah, I think quite the opposite of that. I think despite the challenges that we all know, the ministry, not the ministry, our flag faces, that we are doing exceptionally well. So I feel that once the digitalization project, which I understand is well underway.
It's underway, yes.
Gets through the door, I genuinely feel that the ministry will be ready for the future.
Good. Okay. So Mr. Kimonos, you're on to it.
So, you mentioned international contacts, and I'd like to focus on that, because despite your interest to Athens and London, we noticed that you traveled to Qatar, Egypt, Oman, Hong Kong, Europe had a sort of renewed focus towards the Middle East and Asia. Could you tell us more about the strategy behind approaching these new markets? So what sort of drives them? What outcomes came out of these visits?
Yes, this was a plan that was connected to build on the advancement of the exposure of Cyprus. It was not only to strengthen our bilateral relations and to deepen on various areas of cooperation, but, you know, for the first time, these countries approached us. And that was the main important thing, that Cyprus exposure in the last years has been increasing so much that countries such as these ones, that we never had any relationships on the maritime aspect, have been coming and asking to learn from Cyprus. So we're very proud about it, and we have seen that after our visits there, more companies decided to come and open offices here in Cyprus. We have seen them trusting our flag, and we have seen our companies that entered our tax tonnage system increasing, and this has led to the 16% of increase for the income of the ministry, because it's not only the relationships, you bring income to your country. So the most important thing for us is that through these relationships, we have managed to increase the income of the ministries, and we're very proud about it. And also in Qatar, Cyprus was the only European country that participated in this conference, except being the only woman. We were in the only European country, which that was very important for the exposure of Cyprus. So, yes, these are the main most important things that these countries bring to Cyprus. But we also learn from them, because they have amazing infrastructure, and we believe that it's a win-win situation.
On the topic of travel, we were discussing before the panel started. You mentioned you're traveling to Brussels later today. Is that right?
Yes, I'm about to leave after the panel, and I'm sorry for not being here to listen to everybody's thoughts. We will be participating in the high-level roundtable of fisheries and oceans. It's a part of the trio, the presidency. As you know, in 2026, Cyprus will have the presidency. So I will be representing Cyprus together with the Minister of Agriculture on that forum. We will have also bilaterals with Mr. DiCostas and Mr. Galis, and also with Mrs. Ottenberg, because we need to be there and be sure about the competitiveness of the European shipping.
Okay, thank you. Let's circle back to something you mentioned both in your speech and earlier today. The topic of women in the maritime industry and maritime professions, this is a topic that is quite close to your heart. And you recently announced with the Office of the Commissioner of Gender Equality that you are embarking on a new campaign to bring women closer to maritime professions. Could you tell us a bit more about this initiative and run us through whether you believe that, you know, this can have a measurable impact on the number of women entering maritime industry, especially in Cyprus?
First of all, it's a commitment of the government and especially of our presidents. And I'm very happy that I see a lot of women participating here today. And this campaign, it was a specific campaign. It was a video with five women of all ages. We have seen women captains speaking about the difficulties, because, you know, we have the tendency always to speak for them, and we cannot listen to them. So what we wanted to show is their perspective. And we always say about the love of the seafarers and all this, but we need to give them space, we need to give them to speak and to listen to them. And we have seen that if they speak to the new generation, they can affect them. if we speak to them, it will not affect us. So that was the target, and we want to see a lot of women participating. We have a very good collaboration with Vista Cyprus, something that I'm very proud of. And we're very lucky in Cyprus that we have Vista to drive on it. So yes, we have a long way to go, a long way, but we're very positive, and we have seen that things have started to change.
That's great. That's great. And this year alone, we've seen many women taking over key positions within our cluster. So that's also great news.
Even though Irina is not here and you are here.
So. She tried it. She gave me a pass. Let me stick to the topic of maritime professions a bit longer. Let me stick to the topic of maritime professions a bit longer, and let's focus on Mr. Tsakos' interjection, Captain Tsakos' interjection in the previous Maritime Cyprus Conference, specifically in the Seafarers panel. He mentioned this lack of nautical seamanship of newer generation. And it's a big word of his that he keeps mentioning every conference. And this is something that has also been in the news recently, particularly in the past couple of weeks, months, the lack of seafarers. Mm-hmm. Could you run us through what you believe, you know, the reasons are behind the shortage and what you believe the ministry can do to alleviate this issue?
Yes, my beloved Mr. Tsakos. I wish that we had more captains. He's a true figure, leading figure of that aspect. And we're very grateful for all the work that he's been doing. I think it's connected with what I said before. You know, there are 1.9 million seafarers working all over the world. And what we need to understand is that with everything in the development of green energy and all the ships. And we need also to educate the seafarers. And I believe this is an aspect that contributes to the lack of it, because you need to be close to them, you need to listen to them, you need to drive this together with them. You cannot have them behind you. They are the driving force of any person. So education of the seafarers is very important. The IMO has started taking some steps forward on it. And I was reading yesterday that there are more than 800,000 seafarers that are expected to be trained and qualified by 2030. This is a huge number. So yes, we need to be there and we need to accommodate, and the IMO, but also as countries, we need to go a step further and have a strategic plan on how to educate them. They need to be ready for the changes. And I think that if they are ready, then there will be more to come.
Mr. Bornozis is worried about our time. So let's skip ahead to a couple of points which you mentioned you really wanted to touch upon.
Maritime Cyprus.
Exactly. So We experienced an amazing 2023 event. It was the biggest event yet. It was extremely well attended. Whole new venue, whole new layout. We had leading figures, both as panelists and as attendees. Now, Maritime Cyprus is right around the corner, 2025. Is there anything you can tell us, any sort of top secret tidbits or pieces of information?
Okay, first of all, yes, it was indeed a very successful one. So the birthday is very high this year to be more successful. And I want to thank Mr. Polis Hachiwanu and Mr. Themis Papadopoulos for all the support that we had in last year, but in 2023, and for this year. And the changes that we are running to have the agenda by April, which it's much more earlier than the previous one. And also what we are changing this year is that the Cyprus Maritime Personality Award will be given on the first day of the conference. we will not have this via the cocktail reception. Maritime Cyprus will begin on the 6th of October, and the award will be given on the conference. There will be many changes. We have new innovative ideas. We want to give the opportunity to the new generation to be more present on maritime. And we will have a lot of important figures also participating in this year. And we will be waiting for all of you in Maritime Cyprus, and we are sure that it will also be a very successful one.
Good. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your insights.
You've got, I'd like to, first of all, thank you very much to Mayor Nassidi, to Ms. Dalim. You always transgress and open when you speak in your passion. One thing I'd like to add, if you may, which you mentioned about the interest of the initial development and the creation of the Cyprus flag. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many were aware of what they went through to create the Cyprus flag. I happened to live it as a teenager at the time, until about the 60s, when we actually built the Cyprus flag ourselves. Mm-hmm. They've been through wars, evils, and I think it's an absolute miracle, almost what I would call humanly unachievable. Not only to accomplish what they've done, but when you look through the hardship, the antagonism, the criticism, and the complete almost hatred which you hear heard about in the market, because I mean, I've been around for a while, and you can't imagine with your wife's imagination how intimidating it was, and how what they did was absolute. I mean, I would like to use that word very loosely, but Maida, you performed an absolute miracle. Bravo, Swiss. Bravo.